You're listening to a podcast from 702.
This time we look at the major political stories you need to keep an eye on. So begins this article. It's one of those you actually really have to make time to read. The war for the soul of the ANC is a war for the country. Gangsters, cops, gangster cops, and gangster politician. There's a big stake in the outcome. So Nasrec, according to this piece, was a mere pitch battle. The war is far from over. One fight is that of Police Minister Bigot and the erstwhile IPED director Robert McBride. McBride, of course, was set to dish some of the dirt he has at the Zonder Commission yesterday. His appearance has been postponed to give notice to those he may implicate. We're joined by the author of this piece, the managing partner at Amabungane Center for Investigative Journalism, Sam Sol. A very good morning to you, and thank you for your time, and what a piece.
Oh, thanks, Bongani. Always nice to talk to you. And thanks for wading your way through. It's a long story, but hopefully it's compelling.
Listen, on paper, let's start with where it begins. On paper, there should have been no better two friends than the police minister, Bigot Cele, and Robert McBride. And as you point out, they were among the first to realize the serious damage Jacob Zuma could do.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we forget now that state capture began with the capture of the security networks and the NPA. You know, state capture was originally, you know, a project to protect then President Zuma from, you know, the prosecution that is now resumed. And what I've tried to show is how the consequences of that battle of the attempts to kind of control, successful attempts to control the police, the hawks, the intelligence services, and the prosecution service are still kind of working their way through now. And the fight between McBride and Cele is part of that history.
I mean, let's talk about McBride's tenure at IPED. That essentially ensured that institution could not be captured.
Yes, look, I mean, there were a couple of key turning points in the Zuma era where, you know, the state capture project was pushed back. McBride was suspended, removed as head of IPED. He went to court, and the matter eventually went to the Constitutional Court, and he was reinstated, and that was 2015 or 16. The other case where the courts came to our rescue was the removal of the head of the Hawks, General Nkemeza, who'd been appointed. Those were two turning points. And when McBride got back into IPED, you know, he really began a campaign, to clean out what he regarded as the dirty cops, the cops that had been put in for political reasons, for reasons to, you know, protect their political masters, but also their, you know, their own secrets. And what we see is that eventually has set him on a collision course with Bheki Cele because of allegations of Bheki Cele's history and ways in which he may have been compromised by crime intelligence.
Let me come in. We'll come to those allegations around Bheki Cele in a moment. But just bring us, because this is another issue that's been swirling about, the issue of the purchase of that grabber. Where does that come in? Because, of course, it was ostensibly an illegal procurement meant to benefit those who are against Cyril Ramaphosa. How has it come to hurt McBride?
Yes, look, when McBride got back into IPED, he was obviously investigating the top structures of the police. They were investigating him, and the story gives a bit of the flavor of that, you know, that spy versus spy process. He had some of his own, you know, sources, as it were, who were providing him with information from within the police or from within crime intelligence. And he'd already picked up issues around this company called iView that was supplying security equipment to the police. someone in crime intelligence tipped off IPIDS that there was a plan to buy a grabber, which is a machine to surveil cell phone conversations. It's a kind of a mobile thing that you can take and you can listen to cell phone conversations, pick them up in the area, just ahead of the NASREC conference. So you might think, well, this was to spy on the conference, but it was so close to the period. And what McBride discovered was that the price, was massively inflated for what one normally pays for these machines. And he says in his affidavit that he has reason to believe that, this was in fact an attempt just to launder money to produce a sort of black stash of cash that was going to be used to buy off delegates. He intervened, he stopped that, but the case around that grabber, and the purchase of that grabber, is going on. He didn't let go of it. And what he said is, you must hand over documents from the secret fund, from the crime intelligence secret fund, where all the sort of covert operations are funded from, around that. And there's been massive resistance from the police to disclosing what goes on in that black fund. And that's partly what this fight is about.
Yeah, because one of the things you outline in your piece is how that slush fund, or at least revelations around that, may also expose people who were, shall we call it, benefactors, even to Tsele. For example, Timmy Marimutu is a name you mentioned.
Yes, absolutely. So, again, it's an extraordinary story. Timmy Marimutu was a Durban businessman who got close to Tsele. When Tsele took over as national commissioner in 2009, he was almost thrown into a conflict with the then head of crime intelligence, General Richard Ngluli. And one of the things Ngluli did to try and get influence over Tsele, his new boss, was hire Marimutu as an agent, Marimutu and most of his family, and these people were paid from the secret fund
In fact, one of the things, Sam, that's exactly the thing that I found startling, that you say there's still, I mean, I'll ask you three questions, but there really are actually one question to wrap our conversation up. We've got a situation where individuals that are highly placed within law enforcement have actual criminal records. KGB Tshabalala is one example. I mean, this is a classic case of foxes guarding the hen house. How rotten is law enforcement and by extension the South African state?
Look, I mean, I think it's unfortunately much more rotten than we think sometimes. There's a lot of criticism of how slowly the state or President Ramaphosa is moving, to enforce accountability. People say, look, nobody's been arrested. And the fact is nobody's been arrested because the institutions that are supposed to do that on the behalf of the state have really been hollowed out, have been corrupted. And it's going to be, it took 10 years to do that.
It's not going to be sorted overnight. Well, leave it there, Sam Sol, managing partner at Amabungane Center for Investigative Journalism. And that's the point, really, isn't it? If you're wondering why there are no arrests, well, who's going to arrest them when some of those that are meant to be doing that are themselves the criminals?